Welcome to this week's call, where we are working with the context of flight and we're transforming anger into its healthy role, which is that of creating movement momentum for us. Okay. So as I've got the recording going, I might repeat some of the things that I just said a moment ago. Thank you for being here as always, and whether you are listening to the live or to the recording, this time is perfect for you. And today's time change, if you're listening to the recording and wondering, what the heck, why did I miss class today? We had a time change, and I let you know that all in the emails as well as on the recording and the live last week. But in case you missed that detail, it was at the end. I apologize if you're missing today's live and you're listening to the recording on that note. And for next week, we're also going to be meeting at the same time. Okay, so we had three in a row of the same time. So in case you're wondering what the heck, that's what's up. Today was altered to the 9 a.m. Mountain Time, or what time Mountain Time? 8 a.m. Mountain Time. Pardon me. Okay, and as we settle in for today, I'm gonna invite you to get comfy and cozy, making any adjustments that you might need to settle in. And as we tuck in for today, I'm going to invite you to begin here by means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in, to receive, to drink in life. And every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go, to make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. If any part of that is pleasant, even neutral, taking time to drink that in, to really be with that, to appreciate it. I don't know about you all, but sometimes it's a lot easier for me to focus on the things that don't seem to be going well, the things that seem to be wrong. And I often need a little help in reorienting to things that are actually going well and remembering that there's actually beauty. There's ease, there's pleasantness as well amongst everything else that's happening, and you get to still take that in amongst it all. So I wonder what it might be like if we actually practice that on purpose and use it as a resource for our session, for our day. I know that you can use this as much or as little at any time as feels right for you. I'm going to invite you to, on purpose, as we often start off with, to outwardly or inwardly scan, let your gaze land on anything in particular that's easeful to be with, that's pleasant. As you locate that thing outwardly or inwardly, letting your gaze take in, along with all your other senses, really listening to what you appreciate the most about this. Really feeling how that is to be with it. As you slow down to take that in, you might become aware of other sensations in the body. You might notice other things happening inside of you. Whatever it is that feels pleasant and easeful here, I'm going to invite you on purpose to notice it, to take time to pause and drink in that beauty. to continue to notice its impact, anything that's easeful inside of you as a response, to allow that to be there in a very mindful way, savoring it and letting yourself be with it. And as you do that, I'm going to offer these words. Thank you for being here exactly as you are. Thank you for showing up. And thank you to all that's gone into this sweet opportunity to be together, to be present, to show up for ourselves in these ways that we do. Thank you to your villages of support. And thank you to your families that created you, your ancestors, your lineages. Thank you to it all. And the deepest of thank yous to those that have caretaken and stewarded this earth. So very grateful for that nourishment. Thank you. Blessings on your journey today. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, peace, peace, peace. As we start off, we're heading into the eighth house, and that background noise, in case you can hear it, is people starting their snow blowers, where we've got quite a bit of snow falling here right now, and people are getting ahead of it with their snow blowers. There's a few going out there. And in this eighth house, which we work with around the topic of death, rebirth, regeneration, we're most notably working with an aspect of it that I don't emphasize as much, which is that of other people's money. We're looking at the stress that's getting created within the kidneys, which is the natural organ slash meridian of the eighth house. And we're looking here at the fear response and the anger response and the worry response. Okay, so fear, anger, and worry around receiving other people's money. On a subconscious level, there's an angst around being beholden or being subservient or being, in essence, like their slave or something like that. There's a sense of then if you receive money, then you have to do something for them. And it's like, I'm already overwhelmed. I don't want to have to do one more thing, so better I just don't take in that money. Better I don't receive that. Better I actually hit the eject button and try to escape and get out of here. So as we work on this particular angle around other people's money, it's actually orienting to the consciousness of self-love. And we're looking here at the patterns around receiving nourishment and how that hasn't always gone very well, and a sense of almost anger, rage, fury, more on the extreme end of the anger spectrum. Around times in which you wanted to receive things that felt good from other people, but you were so upset by the thought of again being beholden to them, or that means you owe them, that it created this whole push-pull scenario around I want it, but I can't have it. Because that will mean that then XYZ has to happen. There's all these consequences associated with that particular action. So, if I receive nourishment, I'll be more in debt than I've ever been before. So, better I just run around without that nourishment in order for me to be sustainable, to maintain the current state of affairs, which may also not be pleasant, but it seems like that's the solution. So to address this, we're actually going to head into the solar plexus chakra to give the essence of self-love and the capacity to receive without the expectation of devastation, a sense of possibility, The solar plexus chakra is really, really good at being able to find a new way through things. It likes to digest the old debris and find a new opportunity in amongst all that it's digested. So in essence, it becomes almost like a center of transmutation. And that process creates empowerment along the way. Now the solar plexus chakra has parts to it. From a body talk perspective, we call them sub-chakras. And we're heading into sub-chakra number 4, which works with the essence of the heart, or the essence of love and harmony, as well as respect and dignity within this whole process. So I see this as actually transmuting the capacity to receive money from being a stressful experience to that of easefulness, to that of I open to receive abundance with grace, with dignity, with compassion. And then related to that, running of permissions. It gets to be a fair exchange now. And then we're releasing low self-esteem around the idea that you had to give more than you could ever get. And we're running that lymphatic circulation through primarily the midline brain structures. That's through all levels, the cortical brain, the limbic brain that manages all of our emotions or processes all of our emotions, and the reptilian brain, which keeps us in. Well, not in survival mode, but it helps us to survive, helps us to keep us alive without having to think or manage any of those things. It just automatically makes sure that we're breathing and we have our heart rates, and it manages a fair amount of instincts for us. So as we work with this, we also need to run lymphatic drainage through the midline of the heart brain. To where the left sides of the atria and the ventricles alike meet the right sides. And I see this as bringing the heart, the two sides of it, into connection, into union, into partnership. And I just hear the phrase, we work together, we work together. And I see that it's playing out internally, excuse me, internally within the heart. As well as between you and other people when it comes to the realm of money. What if you receiving other people's money as a fair exchange for what you offer gets to be an opportunity to love yourself, to nourish yourself, to embrace what you have to offer with willingness, with openness, with consideration to those parts of yourself? That know what to do, that have the services to offer others, that have the capabilities to do what you do in your profession, for your work, for your boss, whatever the situation might be. That knows how to receive things like even inheritances or windfalls from other sources. As we work on calling in abundance, prosperity, linking in all five senses, but in particular that of smell, to opportunity. And then we're running the permissions here that it's actually safe to be open to opportunities, that it's safe to be open to ways of being, ways of acting, ways of behaving that are in alignment with opportunities arriving. And to support that, we're releasing in particular anxiety around all the things that you do for others that you don't really want to be doing. All the things that you do that are almost feeling like dead weight in your system. And this idea that you have to do those things versus you get to do those things in particular is where that heaviness is coming in from. So as we release the belief system of I have to or else, I have to or else. Bringing in the energy of I get to. I get to. And as we support the system in realigning, the things that are actually just busy work that are keeping you stuck in patterns of pleasing others or just being an autopilot, things that you're doing that aren't actually serving you and filling you up with nourishment for yourself. get to be reevaluated. We're going to ask you to C3 on this. And it's going to continue for the next 6 weeks, starting with C, circulation of all the healing resources. And the part of the body that this is most deeply connected to is again the midline, but it's actually going all the way through the entire body mind. And it's being defined by the consciousness of trust, as well as that of surrender. So we run circulation here, bringing in blood that carries our passion, nerves, our communication, lymph that drains our toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with sheer vitality, consciousness, or awareness. Right down into all the little guys, the electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons. Working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, lower anxiety, lower depression, help the nervous system and the immune system alike to heal. Working with the balance of yin and yang, of feminine and masculine energy. And then also balancing what they most represent, the feminine nourishment and the masculine protection. Then we're also working here with hydration, helping the cells to bring in water, enjoy, and release any impurities that just don't need to be here. And then we're gonna run D for defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean. Taking out the clutter that doesn't need to be here, what remains can be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. And then all of the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, and reprioritization. Getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking and opening up the possibilities where it may have seemed like there was none before. Then integration, introspection, shift the underlying consciousness. And here, think of it as the release, the surrender, the letting go. And then, at the same time as that, we're releasing anger around other people's selfishness because there's a sense of envy, like you wish you could actually also be in that mode. You wish that you could also be acting like they do. It seems like they have it easier because they're acting selfish. And that creates this sort of really like gritty, just like grinding resentment. You know how like you get gravel in your shoe and it's just like painful to walk on? It's like that. And that sort of like gravelly grinding stuff is all the way around the heart, as well as it's intermingled through different aspects of the immune system and the nervous system, and especially where the two of them connect to each other, which I think they have a lot of overlap, energetically speaking. Okay. And then here we need to unhook the belief system of if I don't like what I see out there, I should attack myself to be better. And when we beat ourselves up and we strive to improve ourselves by means of toxicity, negativity, pain, hurt, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, pick a word, it obviously has an impact that doesn't necessarily work very well, but we're beholden to thinking that way because we think that that's the way to be better. Because of our early life, that's how we were trained, so to speak. There's this idea that as long as I punish myself enough, then I'll improve. As long as I'm punished, I'll get better. As long as there's punishment available, I'll somehow be successful or strive in good ways to get where I need to be. So there's this idea that you have to do it by means of punishing yourself. And so we release that. We're going to run another C3 on it, all the same steps that I said before. And both C3s are going to run for the next 5 days. Okay, and then as we work with the self-punishment thing, we also need to unhook it from the left ear and the right ear, actually, as well, and the sinuses. And we're looking here at punishing yourself on a subconscious level. By means of creating excess inflammation and irritation. And creating excess phlegm, excess mucus, excess, well, work for the immune system to deal with. And it's keeping things very agitated. And the system is registering that as you taking action steps forward, creating movement, momentum. As we support the body mind in this, we're actually going to run a defrag on this particular pattern of agitation, being basically confused with productivity. And we're running switching technique to help cope or deal with that stress here. At the same time, we're going to run body chemistry to literally support the immune system and just its overall resiliency. And doing all that it's done, it's almost like the immune system itself is worn out from working harder than it's needed to in all those previous occurrences. And then we're also looking at the same time as punishing ourselves by means of gripping onto things that aren't serving us, things that we hang on to that aren't helping us out. Things that we keep doing, even though we know it's not actually giving us what we want. And the bare essence of that is this belief. It's almost reptilian brain in nature that says, I have to. Without the other parts of the brain coming in to be like, well, why? Let's just see about that. What about this possibility? There's this idea of I have to, and no possibilities elsewhere can exist. There's like blinders of I have to. That are really, really strong. There's also the anger around doing that whole cycle, the anger around all the times that you have done this, the anger around. I keep doing this, and I know that I keep doing this, but I can't seem to stop, and that must mean this about myself. So all these layers of perception of anger are building on top of one another, and they're like rabbits creating multiple offshoots of themselves. And it's creating an abundance of things that may not actually be what you're after. And as we work with this pattern here, we're going to link into house 12, house of endings, house of releasing, house of allowing, and house of making space. House where things get to actually transform. And we're running a permissions, it's boldly worded. And the words here are. You get to die now. You get to die now. It's almost as if that concept itself is that of tremendous relief. It's like, oh. Oh. I actually get to change. I get to actually have something different. There's actually a way out of this. And with this, releasing existential rage along with the belief system, I'm trapped in here forever. We're releasing that through the inner linings of the skull, the meninges. In particular, the thickest of the three linings of the meninges, which is known as the dura mater. And then we're heading into the various blood vessels of the brain. And from here, we're releasing a fear of getting a swollen head if you were successful. And a fear of pride going before the fall, in particular, pride going before the fall. And that's coming off of the ancestral lines. It's coming off of old religious programming. That if I'm pleased with my accomplishments, that I'll somehow go to hell. As you release that from the blood vessels of the brain, I see them almost become like tree roots, but it's aimed at the sky. And you actually get to root, or take root, or take grounding energy, just like you do below, but above. Into the heavens, into the celestial forces, into the forces that elevate, that help you to soar or rise or stand tall. I invite you to actually breathe into your entire spine. As we link every one of the vertebrae pairings together in the spine, topmost, bottommost, and so on and so forth until they meet in the middle, helping us become an antenna of consciousness upon which your nervous system rises. And I see the spine extending, expanding, and we're going to actually link it through to the wood element to support that expansion, and then through to that of the fire element to allow for optimal expansion, as well as heart opening. And what if all this energy that we've discussed up to now has really just been a way to protect your heart from opening, not for any particular reason other than the fact that it seems like it was a good idea to protect yourself in this way based on historical evidence that your ancestors have had for many generations previous. Which is no small thing. So not to minimize that, not to take away from that. Just noticing that it may no longer be necessary in the way that it was before. As we support this heart and opening, as we support the whole body, mind, and expansion, working with the fire element's consciousness of spirits, of self-awareness, and of understanding that I am. And as that discernment, as that wisdom, as that knowing erupts from the energy of the yin, in particular, the heart, as well as the pericardium, as it's opening through here, the yin nourishment gently seeps in. The nourishment that it carries gently seeps into the spaces, the discs that are found between every one of the vertebrae. And I just see those vertebral discs carrying what they do best, cushion, comfort, support. So they become a cushion, a safe place for things to fall without it necessarily being devastating, being a full-on collapse. And I see it as restoration of resiliency to the system. And then I just hear the whole spine go, oh, then I don't have to run away. I don't have to run away and hide. I don't have to run away, hide, collapse, fall down, go away. I get to simply be. And And with every little vertebral disc being like a fall pad, a cushion. Offering comforts, offering soothing, offering supports. Excuse me. We're gonna run hydration for the ligaments that run in front of the spine, the anterior longitudinal ligaments, and the various ligaments around the erector spinae muscles in the back body. And I see this as bringing in water and joy, as hydration does, to expansion of your resiliency, to expansion of your capacity to stand tall, to the expansion of you and what it means to take up space in this world. And then we're running that as a permission that it's actually safe to take up space. It's actually safe to take up space. It's actually safe to expand into the edges of you, into their fullest expression. And as we release that anger around, again, the flight to submit, collapse, fall down, make yourself small, with a releasing the pattern of feeling, being invisible, and utilizing that invisibility to somehow protect yourself. It's kind of like that Harry Potter, if you're into those books or movies. They have like an invisibility cloak in one of the books. We're actually unhooking your invisibility cloak. We're unhooking it off of the area where the collarbones meet the sternum, the sternocleidomastoid joint. And as we release it from here, the upper part of your sternum, known as the manubrium, all the big words are coming out today. We're going to support that manubrium . I'm not entirely sure what's happening with it yet, but we're going to run lymphatic drainage for it, clearing out toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing it within it. And then we're cleaning out here a related pattern. I'm just finding the words for it. Okay, so the pattern is, I just need to figure this out and then I'll be ready to show myself off. I just need to fix this in myself, and then I'll be ready to show the world who I really am. I just need to do something before I can be known in this world, be known to myself, be known, period. If we distill all that down, it in essence says, I have to manage how I'm known. I have to manage how it is to be received. I have to manage. I have to. Which takes away all the essence, the joy of creating and coming alive within ourselves, because we get to, because we want to, because we're curious about developing this part of ourselves, because we want to shine in this particular way, so we want to develop this thing within us. Since within that, carrying this fear of, I shouldn't bother trying to improve myself, I should never change anything. We're going to actually go into the crown chakra with all of this energy, working with what the crown chakra does best, that of transcendence. And we're actually going to go into a sub chakra here as well, and it's actually the same one, number four, which creates harmony, which creates love, which creates healthy relationships, which creates dignity, which creates respect, all by means of transcending and leaving behind those old binds, those old beliefs, those old ideas that you have to do it that way. And almost like a nesting doll, we're gonna take that off and we're gonna look at what's actually underneath that. And we're going to go through maybe a few nesting dolls until we get to the very core of this. And the very core of it all, I see this like brown branch. And I actually see it as ready to branch out. Ready to branch out. And again, I'm seeing that similar type of tree root imagery where the roots themselves, not just the branches, are allowed to extend, expand, and branch outward. Okay, and as that happens, thinking it through too, the entire neuromuscular system, all the nerves, all the muscles, I actually see the nerves and the muscles in support of each other, supporting again this expansion project. And it's all resting on the foundation of being resourced. So all those resourcings that we've done at the beginnings of all the sessions and all the energy that you put into that, we're going to bring that in energetically and know that as you continue to resource, it continues to fuel this new way of your neuromuscular system orientating to taking in the goodness, the usefulness, the beauty, which will allow for further expansion to happen. Which is often counterintuitive to the messaging that we receive around focus, work harder, do more. What if you've actually done that to satisfaction and then some? And it's just the need to orientate in a different way that actually allows everything to click and fall into place. Okay, beautiful. We're going to tap this part out here. Invitation to breathe, to receive. Giving that a few breaths, letting that part really land. Kayla. Then we're heading back into house 12, but this time working with the organ of the meridian, that of the liver meridian, now which naturally processes anger. And here there's the habit pattern of, I'm so angry at you, I'm going to remove my energy from you so you can't access it and give you like the silent treatment. I'm going to shut down as a means of punishing you. And there's a sense of being able to derive power by punishing by means of basically running away from that person and shutting down and going inwards. So for this, we're going to run a cellular repair, restoring the cells of the liver back to their fullest potential of health. And then we're supporting that inner three-year-old and its essence of willpower around thinking this is the best solution to go inward and shut down. To begin to tolerate what it might be to be present to somebody else, acting in ways that they don't like, and helping them to tolerate that by means of allowing that inner three-year-old to be in connection with your core energy, your essential nature, your authentic self, your essential self. And as we energetically realign that three-year-old to your essential self, running the permissions of, I'm here with you. You're not alone anymore. You matter. Pardon me, your needs matter. And I'm listening. And then we're linking in particular the left ear, the consciousness of being received, and having ourselves heard in ways to let our inner ones, our inner little ones, know that we matter. And hearing a substantial release of depression. It's the anger within the depression that we're working with here. We're doing that within that inner three-year-old and their liver. And we're here, we're releasing the belief system of I cannot stand myself. So I should shut down and hide from myself. Being defined by the consciousness of unlovable. As we address this, helping this little one, this inner three-year-old, to again, it might feel almost like painful to receive affection, to receive touch, to receive nourishment. So we're going to go really, really slow here at a pace that's tolerable. Supporting that little one in receiving and drinking in and taking in this goodness again. And we're linking it into the energy of, bear with me here, your mother's higher self. Your mother's higher self. So not what your mom did or how she acted, but her highest self and the love that's inherent within that. And as we connect energetically to your mother's highest self and the love contained within it, offering that to the very core of your heart and this three-year-old's heart in a way that lets her soften and open to receive it and drink it in, to not have to fight against it, to not have to run away from it, to not have to please it, to not have to do anything to earn it, but just to simply be present to actual love without having to manage, fix, change, govern, or do anything. And it's almost shocking to the three-year-old that she doesn't have to jump through all the hoops to get to be in the presence of love, to get to be in love. And here running the permissions of I get to be in love. I get to be in love. love containing, centering, surrounding, cocooning, and imagining that love creates space around the body mind in every direction, 8 to 12 inches. Above, below, beside, above, below, beside. In a way that allows for the system to really perceive it, to be bathed in it, and to finally become it so fully that it actually can't separate it out. It can't separate itself out from that. It dissolves into it. As we work with this, allowing that 3-year-old to dissolve into the energy of your heart. No longer needing to keep the world out there at bay in this old protective way. She gets to dissolve lovingly. In a way that allows every need that ever was to be met, surpassed, taken in, received. And I hear your body mind go, oh, things can come to me without me having to figure it out in advance or do it or manage it in some way. So I'm going to invite you, if it feels right to you, to take any arm, right or left, to extend it fully in any given direction. And then to literally imagine that you can grasp onto something that's satisfying for you. And to bring it back in a way that allows you to actually receive it and take it in. I'm going to invite you to do that a few times, reaching out to receive, pulling it in, and having it land within you. And doing that a few times, as long as you want, but at least 3 to 5 times at minimum. And as you extend outwardly, grasping onto the thing that's satisfying, bringing it in, allowing yourself to notice that it actually gets to flow fluidly. And if there's something in the way, if there's any blockages along the way, we're going to actually work with those with the Sidri. It's going to continue for the next 4 days. And as a Sidri, feel free to keep going with that extension of the arm and bringing it back and savoring it. And as we run this Sidri for the next 4 days, linking the solar plexus chakra, consciousness of digestion and empowerment, and linking it through to the sacral chakra or the sexual chakra, around the consciousness of vitality is easeful to receive. Vitality becoming more and more easeful to receive. And then through to the base chakra, which is actually simply celebrating existence. It's like, I'm alive. Yeah, I'm alive. And as the base chakra celebrates that, and as the humanness of those bottom three chakras do their thing. It gets to like the reptilian brain having an autopilot without you having to do anything about it. In a way that the crown chakra allows for transcendence to easily do its thing. I'm going to tap this part out here. Invitation to again breathe and to receive. Lengthy sphenoid bone to the coccyx and Advaita Vedanta. This is thought to connect heaven to earth, meaning taking in the essence of all that's heavenly in a grounded way inside of us, being present to the joyfulness that's here in each and every moment without having to wait, so to speak. Okay, it's being defined by the consciousness of universe. And if we look at the etymology of universe, uni means one, verse means song, meaning that we're literally all connected as one. Everything in the universe being one song that's being sung simultaneously. So I imagine that all of us are like each individual, each animal, each tree, each speck of atom that makes up materialistic things, and all the spaces in between become like notes in a song. And as we support the symphony of that, we also support the inner symphony within us. As we support the body-mind in being present to the symphony of life that we get to be a part of in this particular unification, in this particular way. Supporting this awareness by linking it into all five senses and down to the very heart itself. Bringing in lymphatic circulation for anything that seems to be in the way of that, any bits of confusion, misperceptions, beliefs that may have been imparted by society, by whole religion, by the ways that we have grown up, by all the other ways that we get sort of confused around these topics. At the same time as that, running another cellular repair, this time through the family lines on dad's side, on an emotional frequency of anxiety, in particular in the realm of, this is too much to take, I gotta get out of here, his desire to escape because life feels overwhelming at times. As we take in the symphony of life, it actually allows for this old pattern held in the family lines to dissolve, to dissipate. We're going to link this all into the ventricles of the brain, consciousness of wellspring of nourishment, ventricles of the brain being perceived as a wellspring of nourishment. And I see that as rising and bathing the entire brain, and by extension then having an impact on the entire nervous system, almost like a fountain that's bubbling over and washing down the entire length of the body-mind, being bathed in nourishment. At the same time as that, linking the heart energy, which is 60 times to 100 times bigger than that of anything else, through to the very edges of you, and well beyond that into at least 17 feet away, we've proven scientifically, but into the edges of where that ends, which is a bit of a mind fog, because that just might be infinite. It just might be infinite. And as the system dissolves in this way, doing an emotional release of sadness and the anger contained within it for the entire chest, but in particular the right armpits. And I again see that arm reaching out, extending into things that nurture and nourish it, and being used as a means of extending into things that nurture and nourish it, to grasp onto that and to again bring that back, to receive that, to appreciate it, to savor it. And there's almost like a fear of initiating that whole sequence that's being stored in the right armpit that falls away with this work, with this piece. Okay, loves. We're going to tap this part out here. At the same time as we do that, we're going to run diaphragm to intestines, releasing emotional processing and control down to the intestines. But we're going to do it for all four diaphragms, regular breathing diaphragm, base of the throat, top of the head, base of the pelvis. And as all four diaphragms link into the intestines around letting go, surrendering, allowing for detoxification to happen. In particular, around low self-esteem that's getting in the way of being able to reach out and go for it, or to have something particularly change in a way that means that you actually get to be, that you get to restore your agency. That's the wording. That you get to restore your agency, your sense of, I can do this. We're going to tap this part out here. Invitation to breathe and to receive. And I invite you to, I have a longer song today, just a heads up. I invite you to bring in that resource that you found earlier if that feels right for you. And this song is called Every Step of Prayer by Alexis Sunshine Rose. I'll share it in the feature, the chat feature there. I invite you to breathe this energy in and let yourself really take in all the work that you've done today.
Every step of prayer, every breath a new beginning, every step of prayer, every breath a new beginning. Every breath a new beginning.
Thank you for calling this medicine in. And thank you for being you exactly as you are. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. Mwah. Sending you all so much love on this snowy local day. And wishing you a beautiful week ahead. Bye for now, y'all.